Good morning. You guys doing good? Praise God. Thank you guys for being here again. My name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor at the church. Just a privilege to be able to serve in this capacity and to do what God has called us to do, right? So we hope you felt welcomed. Thank you again, sister, for just blessing us with burritos and all kinds of good stuff. Listen, man, it just really is a blessing. I love the heart of the church. Where there's not like people just like, man, God has put it into my heart to bless the church with this or to bring, man, isn't it awesome? Doesn't it feel good? It feels good to be loved like that. So thank you, sister. Just really a blessing. I don't know about you, but sometimes after worship and I'm like, I could just pray and we can go home. You know what I mean? But we're not going to do that. And you're like, whoa, we're not going to do that. We're getting into the word. I had a burrito and some of that sweet bread. I'm good for about an hour of preaching, okay? You're like, an hour? I got to go home to the Super Bowl. Our teams didn't win anyway, right? Those teams are all losers. We're on Team Jesus. We have victory. Oh, Paige likes the Patriots? I'm sorry. Listen, we're gonna have an altar call later or a time of repentance later, Paige. We're going to need you to be the first one to come. No, listen, if your team made it, congratulations. I'm a Bills fan, so you know I'm not going to. I hate the Patriots. We hate the Patriots. Like we hate Uncle Jamie. But no, some of us went to church conference this weekend, so it was great, really a blessed time. And it's funny how God is moving, the Holy Spirit is moving. The theme of the conference is around multiplication and connection, intimacy with God. And so that's kind of, it's the right time. It was the right time for us to hear the message. And that God's word never comes back empty, right? It always comes back to exactly what we needed to hear. My prayer today is that as we get into the word, that God meets you at that place. Right? God meets you at that place. And we're going to cover a passage of scripture that's very familiar. Right? This is not going to be like, I've heard like five or six messages on this. But listen, God's word never comes back empty. Right? And so we're going to dive into the word. And the title for today's sermon is called First Love and True Identity. First Love and True Identity. Now, you guys know there's something that's happening next Thursday. It's February 14th. Guys, I'm doing you a favor. Saturday, what did I say, Friday? I said Thursday. I'm all over the place. I had the right date. Isn't it February 14th, yes or no? I was half right. All right. This is why every man needs a woman in his front row of his life correcting him. Okay, I'm getting myself in trouble already. I'm going to be in the doghouse for Valentine's Day. Okay, let's start again. February 14th on Saturday, guys, is Valentine's Day, okay? Now, I don't know, sometimes, it's kind of tough. If you've been in a relationship or married for a long time, you're not quite sure how to play that one. Sometimes you get confused. They're like, I don't want nothing, and you'll get nothing, and then you're in the doghouse. Happen to you guys? Happens, huh? I'm going to tell you right now, when they say, I don't want nothing, that's a lie. They want something. A little something. Maybe? No, I'm kidding. Last time Stephanie got on me too, she's like, you keep telling the church that they're liars. They're going to get mad at you. Okay, remember that? I was like, who's not going through the storm? And only like two people raised their hand. And I said, the rest of you guys are liars. And then she's like, don't say that. People are going to get mad at you. So, okay, they're not lying. Okay. They're just not telling us the truth up front. They really do want something. But they're not lying. But listen, the reason why I'm talking about this, we're going to spend a lot of time about what does it mean to allow yourself to be loved by God? What does it mean to unpack and uncover what your identity is and who God made you to be, right? Because listen, the world tells you a lot of different things. There's a lot of confusion right now, yes or no, about what true love is. A lot of confusion around what our identity is, right? I don't even have to get into the weeds about like gender identity. There's a lot of confusion around identity, right? And so we're going to be spending some time unpacking God's word and looking at how our first love, right, starts to define and gives us clarity and direction on who God made us to be. And when we build our identity in Him, man, what a blessing it is. So let's go ahead and let's turn our Bibles to Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis 22. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions, right? If I was to get up all in your phone and in your bank account and all up in your business, right? And I started looking at your calendar and where you spend money and who you're spending time with and what you're watching on Netflix, right? The Lincoln Lawyer just came out. That's one of my favorites. That's a side story. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. I can't help myself. But what you're watching, what you're doing, what you're spending your money on, what is it going to tell me? What do you think that I'll find? Do you think that I'll find that everybody here is like, oh, man, these people really love Jesus. I'm not saying that you don't love Jesus. I'm saying, though, that we might find that oftentimes the things that we're spending the most time on, the things that we're spending the most money on, are not exactly things of God. Yes or no? Right? And usually what we start to find out is we start to identify what our priorities are. You know, like some people are really into like sports, like they love their teams, like they put on the jerseys, they yell. I used to have a friend, whenever there was a timeout, the coaches, they would show the coaches, he would go to the TV and he would do like this. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? He's like, I'm in the huddle. I'm not kidding you. This is a true story. And he'd be by the TV and he's like, oh man, we're going to call the best play right now. I'm like, bro, you're not even like in the same state as they're in. But he was so invested into it. He loved it. He would go watch the games. He had all the gear. That sound familiar? Yeah. His identity was big on sports and who his team was. Now, for those of us that are Bills fans and we hate Josh Allen, our identity is not in the Bills Mafia. I mean, I did body slam Stephanie on the table one time, and I repented of it. You guys don't follow football. You guys don't know what that's about, but the fans are kind of crazy. But no, listen, for people who love sports, that's their identity, right? Love sports. I love the Raiders. Love the Niners. Love the Patriots. I'm kidding. People who love success, right? They love success. They're so like, they're driven. They have all these goals. You know those people like that? Some of them, yeah? For them, their identity is around what? Achievement. Achieving these milestones. Some people want to do all these things in business because their thing is they want to have prosperity and wealth. Yeah? For some people, you know, people who are like people pleasers, they're always hungry for approval. What is their identity? Their identity becomes focused, built upon performing. But after a while, you can only perform and perform and perform. And then maybe you run into somebody that's a taker. It doesn't matter how much you perform, but that person is not giving you that affection, giving you the affirmation. And that becomes a very toxic relationship. So you got to be very mindful about that. People who love approval, their identity is around performance. For people who love comfort, their identity becomes what? Naps. Self-preservation, right? I'll do the minimum that I have to do. You know people like this at your job. You're like, man, I'm just doing the minimum. Like, don't tell me to do nothing more. They didn't ask me to do that. This is my job right here. I do it. I was going to say do it well. I do enough just not to get fired. You know people like that? Yep. For those people, it's comfort. It's not pushing themselves. Their identity is around self-preservation, right? Listen, those are all things of the world. But we're going to dive into the Word today. And we're going to start asking ourselves, what does it look like when we build our identity first on God's love? What does it look like for us to build that identity and to stop asking? Right? There is a lot, especially in young people. I need to find who I am. I need to discover myself. You ever heard that? You hear that a lot, right? But the reality is the answers are here in God's Word. We're going to dive in and take some time. And what we're going to be learning about, that's right, she said amen. I heard her. Is that we're going to be learning from Abraham. And he teaches us that identity isn't found in something that God gives you, right? That identity is found in God himself. So let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 22. And we're going to read 1 through 18. And you can follow along on the screen. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. And early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go over with the boy, while the boy goes over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told him, Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up there, and by a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." Amen? Amen, man. Let's just pray and go home. No, we're not going to do that. Let's get into the Word. Amen? Let's break it down. What do we see? Little context, right? You guys remember, some of you guys have started your Bible recap or you're doing your Bible in a year, so you probably are pretty familiar with this passage. But in Genesis 15, God makes a promise to Abraham. You guys remember that? He tells him to go outside and look up, and he sees all the stars in the sky. And what does he promise him? He promises that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. You guys remember that? Now, Abraham, he kind of makes a mess of things, because he and Sarah decide that they have a better plan than God's plan. Let me just start right there. You don't have a better plan than God's plan, right? Abraham teaches that lesson. But then at the age of 100, Abraham and Sarah, they have a son. You guys remember his name is Isaac, right? That's why he says his one and only son, his son. Even though he does have a son already, Ishmael, with Hagar, who's the maidservant for Sarah. Now, just to recap, right? Now, God is doing something right off the top. You hear... In fact, if you go through your Bible, in Genesis 21 is where Isaac is born. Okay. You go to Genesis 22, and then now you see this crazy test of faith. And so the first thing we learn from today's sermon, as we build on this theme of first love and true identity, is that as we seek God out, you're going to find out, I don't know if you know this, but that God will test what is first in your heart. Anybody say amen to that? That God will test first what is in your heart. And we see that in verse 1 and 2. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And the God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you." And so, just like I said in the introduction, Isaac wasn't just Abraham's son, right? Isaac was the promise, the covenant that God had made for him. Isaac was, obviously to Abraham, his promise. It was his future. And so you think that that's an easy thing for him to say, like, yeah, let's go up on the mountain and we're just going to do what God says. That's very difficult. But for a long time, if you guys know that Abraham, you guys remember when you first started Genesis, his name wasn't Abraham. His name was Abram, right? Abram, his word, the name means exalted father. There's a little irony there. His name is Abram. He doesn't have any kids, but his name is the exalted father. And then God does something interesting And awesome, in Genesis 17, what does he do? He changes his name to what? From Abram to Abraham, right? Because he knew that he was going to like eggs and ham for breakfast. So Abraham, I can't just leave you alone, Abram. No, I couldn't help myself. It means the father of many nations is what it means, right? Like Stephen's, I'm just going to change Stephen Ham. It'd be good. He is a ham, right? That one kind of worked. But no, it means the father of many nations. So he was from Abram, exalted father, to the father of many nations. In fact, his name was tied into it. What do you see unique about what God is, what his identity is formed around what? Who God said that he was going to be. Now God immediately goes and he tests him in what? He tests him and says, take your son Isaac, the son that you love, to the mountain and offer him as a burnt offering. Now immediately, if I'm not Abraham, okay? Although I hope that God says I'm a friend of God. But that's a different. But if you're tested like that, the thing that you've been praying for, and then God says, you suck. Will you put that thing, the blessing that you prayed for, the answered prayer, will you put it before me? You see what God is doing? He's testing him because oftentimes, listen, don't we pray and pray and pray and something awesome happens? God answers that prayer. But God is saying, listen, be mindful of who brought that blessing to you. Sometimes the blessing can become what? The distraction. Sometimes the blessing becomes the idol. Sometimes the blessing is the thing that you worship. And so God is saying, I'm going to test you in this thing because I know this is the one thing. Like every one of us in here has, there's usually something that is God needs to test us in. Does that make sense? Because he knows that we're human. He knows that we're going to fall in love with the blessing. If you pray and pray and pray about it and God gives you and answers that prayer, then you start acting like somebody from the Lord of the Rings. His name is Gollum. You're like, God gave me this. It's mine. It's my precious. And it's not yours, right? It's what God has given you. And so God will sometimes use that as a test of faith. Here's the thing, right? Oftentimes, we have to know what God is doing. Because did Abraham panic? He didn't panic, right? In fact, we look at that. The second point in today's message is that loving God, what? Produces immediate obedience. What do you find out when Abraham is tested and he hears the word of God? Does he say, I'm going to have to pray about that. Let me check my schedule. Does that sound familiar? How many times has the Holy Spirit been talking to you and asking you to go minister to somebody, for you to pray for somebody, for you to show up? For you to go to that Bible study, for you to go show up to men's study, for you to sign up to man camp, for you to just even sometimes to come to church, and you say, the Lincoln Lawyer just came out. I was really planning on binge watching that. Does that resonate? Some of you? Some of us? We start to negotiate with God. We don't see that in what Abraham said, right? We said, immediately he says what? He goes, oh, let's go chop some wood right here. He says that. He says that early the next morning, right? He says early, man, let's go get at it. He loaded up the donkey. He's like, get in the minivan. I know you guys are not cool. You guys are cool people. Get in the Jeep. Yeah, the minivan's not going to make it to the mountain. Get in the Jeep with the 4x4, whatever you guys drive. Get in the lifted truck, load it up with the wood, right? It was a donkey. And he took two of his servants. Here's what he says. It wasn't a delayed response. Loving God means that, man, when he calls you to something, you need to obey. Man, parents in the room. Doesn't it feel good when you ask your kids to do something and they're like, oh, right away, mom. Yes. Anything else? Dad, what else can I do for you? After I do that, is there another chore you'd like me to do? Isn't that be amazing? The moms would like pass out. They're like, this is not my kid. Somebody slapped me 2 times. What'd you do with my son, my daughter? Because when you love, isn't obedience a natural response? Yes? Okay, kids in the room, listen to me. right? What is the first commandment with a blessing? It's the fifth one, right? Honor your mother and father, that you, the days in the land will be long, that you'll be prosperous in them. There's a reason for it. It means that if you do that, be obedient. Not if your parents, I'm not giving us parents, we can't be tyrants. You know, when you're sleepy, vacuum again, do it again. Pouring Kool-Aid on their eyes. You can't sleep, do this. No, be nice, right? You can't sleep. I can't sleep. Mom, I don't care, go vacuum again. No, be nice, right? With balance, yes or no? Because some of us know our parents were like, what? Who's this new kid? I'm going to work him to death. With balance, okay? But kids, what it's saying is that, like, listen, when you love out of respect, you have to obey. Yes or no? And you're like, oh, I didn't come here for that. We should have gone to the other church. They don't tell me to do that kind of stuff. But parents, you're not off the hook either. Because what did we just learn? And now the kids are all, pay attention, mom. Pay attention, dad. Because we have to set the example in serving. We have to set the example in love and kindness. Yes or no? Yes, right. And what is assumed there is it assumed that the parent is being obedient to the Father. And he's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's leading the way that Jesus leads. And it's easy to follow somebody that's leading that way. Right? But some of us think that, like, we envision that Jesus was walking around nagging people all day. That he was always like just like bullying people, like, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? When I see the scriptures, I don't see Jesus doing any of that. Didn't I tell you to do that? How many times do I have to tell you? How many times? He's about to sock me right now. I better stop. He's about to punch me. But doesn't it, parents, don't we sometimes do that too to our kids? Yes or no? We do, right? Jesus didn't lead that way. He led in humility and love and kindness. Now I know sometimes our kids are like, man, you're like, you start to size up your own kids. No, don't do that. They drive, don't they test our patience? Yes? That's why God gave us these kids, man, to love on them. Because they test us too. It's a test of faith like we're learning today. But no, listen, the point that I'm trying to make is when you love, you obey. And it's not a delayed response. Listen, God is calling you to something. Listen, not because he wants something from you. He wants something for you. And it's going to come through obedience. It's going to come through obedience. See, God wants to bless. It's not a business. His characteristics, his quality is love and kindness and blessing upon blessing. Yes or no? Through Jesus Christ. And this is not a health or wealth type of message. This is just the God that I know. The God that we know, yes? Because God wants to do amazing things, right? So right now for this object lesson, I'm going to have Jenny, John, and Lily come up to the front. Come on. Now, first of all, like this, and what we have to do, sometimes are we asking, we're like, God, can you provide like this job, this thing that you want? And sometimes we get very distracted. Yes, get in the line, guys. What are you guys doing? We're not dancing. We think we're like at a high school dancing. No, face the front. Now, open hands. Open your hands, right? You come before God and you ask, right? Don't you have like, you're asking for God, yes or no? To do that, you need to have what? Your hands are open. Two hands, right? So I'm going to come alongside and I say, Jenny, I'm God in this situation. I'm not really, right? God gives better things than this. But sometimes God will come and he'll answer your prayer, right? This is just 25 cents, right? Maybe it's the thing that she was really asking for. And so I'm putting it in her hand and I'm giving her a double portion. Now she really loves this thing. So make a fist. Make a fist hard. What's the first thing you feel when you start to make a fist? Now all of you guys too, watch. I know they're up here. In your hand, pretend that you have a quarter in each one. Start squeezing it. You're like, my precious, I love it. What do you feel in your hands right now? Tension, yes? Your hands are getting tired, yeah? Your nails are starting to dig into the palms of your hand, yeah? Because that's what we do. Sometimes we lose track of it. We pray and we pray and we really want that thing. And it's like, now that I have it, oh. That make sense? All right. Now, yeah, I'm coming along. And I gave her a double portion. Lily gets a triple portion because she's my daughter. Okay, now keep squeezing. Okay, now keep squeezing. Because what starts to happen is that you're like in love with the thing that God has given you. He's answered your prayer. You're not even looking at the things of God anymore. You're so in love. You have all this tension. I have to hold on to this. And you're not even thinking about the things of God. And God is sitting at the side saying, man, that's all. 50 cents, Jenny, is what you're satisfied with? Pay attention, Stephen. She said, yes. Okay. Okay, Lily, 75 cents is what you're patient with? And God is coming along, and God is in the business of blessing and using you to build up his kingdom for things that have eternal value. Amen? And he says, if I could trust you with a little bit of things, man, I can do some great things with you if you'll just be obedient. Yes or no? Amen, right? So God is coming along, and John, look at John. His hands are like, man, give me the real money, Pastor. I saw his hands move. Right? Did you guys see that? So God is coming along and says, listen, I'm going to, right, here's a 20. Look at Lily. She's all, Dad, you better spot me with the 22, okay? Now here's I only have $21, John, okay? Right. And now he has that. But what I'm saying is that now the two of them, even though this is a good blessing, that's a better one, and that's still, but listen, God is in the business of relationship. Isn't it better if you are at odds? Like, listen, it's better that you have full access, right? In this particular analogy, to whatever's inside of this. Yes or no? How do you get access to this? If I don't know them, if I don't see them, do they have access? Yes or no? They've fallen in love with the blessing. But listen, what I really wanted, right, is the relationship. Because this is just one analogy, right? This is, okay, my wallet is not endlessly, it doesn't continue to multiply more and more money. But God is a God that is in the business of blessing and using and guiding, and he wants to provide. Not only financially, these are little things. I use this object analogy because you guys are all familiar with having quarters and dollars and $20 bills. But God is in the business of providing for your spiritual needs. God is in the business of meeting you where you are, where you're broken, where you're hurt, where your real needs are. The things that keep you up at night. The things that hurt your soul, that's where God wants to meet you. And God wants to come in and say, like, listen, you're so, because life is going to happen. I don't know if you know this, but something's going to come along Jenny's life and it's going to, right? Body slam her on the mat, I heard. Something like that. And life is going to happen. We pray that it doesn't happen to our kids. Don't we pray that? We pray that God protects them. But God is God. Last week, we learned that sometimes God is going to allow certain things to happen to bring our kids, to bring our loved ones, our family ones, to a place where they have no choice but to repent and reach out to and cry out to God. We don't want them to go through those pains. But sometimes they lose focus, they lose track, they find their identity in all these things. And they forget that the real blessing is connectedness to, in this case, the pastor, but it would be connectedness to the Father. That God is the one that meets them at their need. That God is the one that sees you when you're crying in the middle of the night. That God is the one who knows how you hurt, I can't even say it, but listen, I call it the wound of your soul. The wound of your soul. And he's in the business of healing that. Now the problem is that we have no connection. Listen, I want to come alongside and I want to do something, but her hand is what? Closed tight. So then they have to what? Release it. They have to release it. So give it back, Jenny. You can't even buy bread at El Nopal with this anymore. Give it back. John, give it back. I know, he's all sad. Maybe later. But listen, when your hands are open and you're not clinging on to even something that's good, let me talk to some of the adults in the room. Sometimes we're clinging on to something that hurts. God is saying, man, will you just release that thing to me? Will you just open your hand? Because then God could come in and he could do something with that, right? The open hand. He can see you, right? You guys have seen this. I did this analogy with Lily, right? Okay. I can hold your hand and say, it's going to be okay. And I can hold your hand and say, Lily, I love you. And John, I can say, man, God is going to do some amazing things, but you have to open your hand, right? You have to follow him. And that's what God wants to do. Does that make sense? that we're in the business, and God is in the business of being God, and He is good. I'm not even talking about, again, the analogy is material, but man, the things that satisfy and heal our soul. Amen. And we have to be willing to let that go. All right. Thank you, guys. Okay, John, my lawn needs to be mowed. You can buy later. Got a 20 spot for you. That is a true story. But listen, we get confused, right? The blessing becomes the identity. And even sometimes, guys, the heartache becomes the identity too. The addiction, the sin becomes our identity. In the world, in the culture. That's not our identity, who God says that we are. Right? Oh, that person, you heard me say that, he's a drug addict, that's the person that's this, he's a homeless guy, he's this and that, she's that and this. The world says all those things. That's not how God calls us. We've got to be really careful on who we frame our identity around. Blessing, whether it's a blessing or even some of the things, the traumas that we've gone through, that's not our identity. God is asking us to have an open hand to Him. In the same way that Abraham was obedient, he said, let's go. He didn't say no. He didn't cower. He didn't protect him. He didn't hide Isaac and send him to Mexico, right? Amen? The third point in today's message is that when we seek God first and then we love God first, it means that we are trusting God's character. We're trusting God's character. In verse 7, we see that Isaac spoke up and said to his father, he says, Father? Yes, my son. This is interesting, right? When I read this, I chuckle. Because we're like, Isaac's now, he's probably about 25. He's not a little baby boy, right? Because he says he's carrying the firewood. I don't know if you know that. Because the servant stayed with the donkey, yeah? I would have said, like, Dad, let's take the donkey too. But he's a nope. So he's carrying the firewood, and Abraham is carrying the fire and the knife. He's about 25 now. And Isaac says, Dad, I see the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now here's an amazing part of this passage. And Abraham answered and says, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together, right? So Abraham is believing something. He's believing in the character of God. It's not just a circumstance. See, sometimes when we are in a circumstance that we don't understand and we're in the middle of it, we're in the valley of the shadow of death, right? We're having a hard time. Have any of you guys been asking, like, God, when are you going to show up? God, you're a good God. Man, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Has anybody prayed that prayer in here? We have, right? But when you feel that way, what we're learning today is that, like, listen, your emotions are going to let you down. Trust in the character of God. Trust in who He says that He is. He is faithful. He provides. He provides. See, Abraham was believing something powerful, right? That if God gave him Isaac, that God Himself would what? Sustain him. God is not going to go back on His promise. In fact, Abraham was there in Genesis 15 when he received the Abrahamic covenant. Do you remember that? And so he says, he knew. He says, God's going to provide. Don't worry. God's going to provide. That's faith in trusting God's character. And listen, if God has promised something, we need to be mindful of this, brothers and sisters, that He will be faithful to complete it. God is not like our friends, right? That it's like a 50-50 whether they show up or not. I used to have a friend like this in college. Like, he would say, I'd say, hey, we're going to go over here. Oh, yeah, I'm down. It's going to be awesome. I love it. And then we'd get there, and we're like, where's so-and-so? His girlfriend wouldn't let him go. You guys know a guy like that? All around all the events until they got a girlfriend, it was like, they disappeared off the map. It was like a witness protection program. My wife even knows what I'm talking about. But for their safety, we're not going to say their names. Mature identity, right? God is calling us to have a mature identity, to have a mature faith in Him. Because listen, oftentimes when things are not going our way, we know, we talked about this 3 weeks ago, the baby starts crying, starts wailing. The baby wants what it wants. But God is asking us to have a mature faith and trust God in His character and who He is. When you love God first, right? You trust God. You know His heart. And this is the hard part. Even before you see what His hand is doing. I want to see, right? You guys go to the magician shows? How many of you guys like to watch those magic revealed shows? Oh, that's how they do it. Right? You like to see, and then it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Some of us are like that with God. We're praying, and God is doing stuff. Man, God is still doing miracles today. And we want to see His hand. We want to see what's happening behind the scenes. Guess what? God says what? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are higher than your ways. And that means that we have to have faith. That we have to trust Him. Because listen, some of us in here, we have a testimony about what it was like that we were praying for something to happen and God said, no. And you're like, ah. He said, no. I loved me. I thought me and Jesus were like this. And now He's hurting me. And He took that thing away. He took away my precious, whatever it was, right? I'm being funny. But listen, some of us has prayed for something. And then guess what? God delays a little bit. God doesn't answer it right away. And then you start to see, right, after you go on, that God gives you enough faith, enough strength to get through the day. He gets you through the day and then through the night and the day and the night. And you start to recognize that it's going to be okay, that God is good no matter what, that God still provides, that He sees you, that He hears you. And then guess what? God starts moving and He starts weaving something in your life that you never would have thought would have happened. And God starts moving and you're saying, man, God, You are so faithful. You are so good. I was praying and praying for this one thing and You said no because You had something better in mind. Right? And then that's an added testimony of faith to you. And you can share with people that are going through that kind of heartache and that kind of struggle. Right? God didn't bring you through that pain because He doesn't like you or He wants to see you suffer. No. It's in the faith. It's in the battles, right, where our faith is tested. God is not a genie. I don't know if you know that. Some of us would love for God to be a genie, yeah? Some of us would be like, God, just, you know, rub right here. Help me win the Powerball, right? This relationship right here, that person is so hard-hearted. Can you, like, just strike him with lightning a little bit? Don't kill him. A little bit of lightning. They'll agree with me, yes or no? Some of you guys are praying, God, just get him. I don't even care. He dies. Like, just lightning. I know. Right? But God is faithful, right? God sometimes says, maybe we're not going to do that. But I have something better in mind. And He starts to build our faith. And doesn't that become an amazing testimony? He says, man, God, I had no idea how good You are. I had no idea the plans that You had for my life. But You're my God, the God who loves, and I know Your character, so I'm going to trust You. And then He starts to build. When you start to walk with God like that and He starts doing those things, you're like, let's go, Jesus. Let's go. Where do you want to go? Let's go. Right? Pack up the donkey or the minivan or the Jeep. Let's ride with Jesus. Yeah? Amen. See, when we're trusting, right, in God's character, we know His goodness, His kindness, and we see that He's a sustainer of life. The more that we know, the more that we know that He's sovereign, He's in control, and that He is good. See, Jesus Himself, right? John 16:33 says, in this life you will have trouble, right? But what? I've overcome the world, right? Listen, because you belong to Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're not going to go through the storm. You guys ever see what happens to ships when they're out at sea, when the storm is coming? What does it do? It reveals something. When the ship is out at sea and it's not moving, you can't see if it's anchored or not. You can't see it. But when the storm comes, and if that ship isn't anchored, what's going to happen to that ship? shipwrecked, sink. But when it's anchored, guess what happens? It's going to rock. It's not exempt. I watched The Deadliest Catch. I see, you know, I was like, I don't want that job. I just want to go to the Red Lobster and eat the king crab, but I don't want that job. But when the storm comes, if it's not anchored, it's going to drift away. It's going to go crash. Your life is the same way. You're anchoring everyone in here is anchoring their life to something, whether you believe it or not. You're anchoring it to your relationship. You're anchoring it to your job. You're anchoring it to your money. You're anchoring it, whatever it is, your life is anchored in something. But when the storm comes, guess what happens? You start drifting away. You start going all kinds of crazy. You're drowning. You're like buckets of water on you. The storm comes, yeah? And you're like, I'm drowning. When you're anchored in the person of Jesus Christ, when you're anchored with God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, man, the storm is coming. I don't even care. Right? You're like that guy in that movie with, what's that one? Run, Forrest, run. Run, Forrest. Yeah, Forrest Gump. Remember that? Lieutenant Dan. He says, I don't care. Bring it. I know the one who made this storm. Right? You guys remember that scene? That's a beautiful scene because he himself is going through. I always say, like, sometimes you see the movie for what it is, but there's a time where you're just in the battle with God and he says, you know what? Man, I got to surrender. That is his surrender. I don't know if you guys know that. But we have to be anchored in something, or guess what? We're going to fall apart. We're going to drown. And we're anchoring our lives on things that can't sustain our relationships, as blessed as they are, right? Listen, I love my wife, but for her sake, she needs to know that I love Jesus more. I mean that wholeheartedly. I love my kids, but for their sake, they need to know that I love Jesus more. Because if I make them my idol, right, it's not going to work out well. It's not. They're not meant to be my God. I have a hole in my heart that is meant only to be worshipped and filled with God Himself. That's all of us. Now, some of us try to fill that with relationships, with work, with finances, with whatever. And it doesn't work. And then we'll start masking with different things, right? God is a sustainer of all things, and we have to be anchored in Him. The fourth point that we see in today's message, and then we see this, right, is that we need to surrender to God, because it builds your faith and leads to clarity. Surrender to God builds our faith and leads to clarity. In Genesis 22, verse 12, Abraham says, this is the angel of the Lord, sorry, it says, don't lay a hand on the boy, don't do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God because you have not withheld him from me, your son, your only son, right? Why does he do that? Because he remembers. Right? You need to surrender. Surrender the situation. Surrender the heartache. Surrender the pain. Surrender even the thing that's breaking your heart right now. I'll be honest with you. And God is sovereign. We can go through life trying to think we have it all. We have it all masked. We mask our feelings. We mask our true emotions, our true identity. We need to surrender to God. Because that leads to faith and also builds our character, our clarity, sorry, leads to clarity, which then builds our character. Abraham's identity, if you guys know this, wasn't in the promise. Or else he would have said no. No, my identity is, I'm going to be the father of many nations. He didn't say that. He didn't say, my identity is in this boy. I love him so much. I'm his dad. His identity becomes in what? God. In trusting God. Abraham is known for what? Being a man of faith. In fact, in Isaiah 55, God himself, through Isaiah, says what? You, Israel, are a descendant of Abraham and Jacob. And he even says, and of my friend, Abraham. Isn't that awesome? That song that we sometimes sing, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You guys know that song? You've heard it before. We never sang it here, but we might sing it next week. A little teaser. Now that I'm just, I even my air guitar. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend, right? That's the song about Isaiah 55. He's talking about Abraham. His identity was in isn't who God was, not in Isaac, not in the promise. What that highlights is relationship. What highlights is intimacy with the Father. Right? It highlights making time. Not just the blessing, but God Himself becomes our identity, just like it was for Abraham. Because number five, when God is first in your life, His provision follows. You could even say His goodness follows, His love follows, His mercy follows, His kindness, all of the characteristics of God. Abraham looked up, verse 13 and 14, he says, and in there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over to the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering. And so Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And today it is said that on the mountain, the Lord, it will be, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. He called that place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Jireh, right? The Lord will provide. So listen, here's what you need to pay attention to in this whole thing. Did God provide the provision before surrender? No, right? Isaac was obedient, surrendered the situation to God, and then God provided. A lot of us in the room, we want God to provide before we surrender. We want God to provide, to answer the prayer, to give the blessing before we surrender the situation to Him. And God is saying, that's not how it works. You need to surrender this to me first and let God be God. So some of us right now, we're in a situation, we're in a battle, we're in a storm, where it feels like, I know I was being funny, that I was drowning. Sometimes it feels like you're drowning. Sometimes it feels like, man, I can't catch a break. Sometimes like, where is the goodness of God? Even though it's sunny like that and beautiful, on the inside, it's just like depression and darkness and anxiety. And in the middle of the night, right, you wake up and you're just like, man, God, just get me through the night, man. This is anxiety. Is anyone... I'm preaching to somebody today. God is saying, is like, listen, you've tried to do this thing. This is not your fight. Right? He says, man, I am your God. I am good, man. I will go before you. Be still. The Lord your God will fight for you. Let me handle this. Surrender, and mean really surrender. And that's hard to do. I know it's hard to do. But listen, His provision and His blessing comes when you let go, because God has something bigger for you. I'll tell you what He has. He has Himself. When you get Jesus, you get God, you get the Holy Spirit, you have everything that you need. And I mean that with all my heart, because I've lived that. I don't preach to you guys up here from something on my ivory tower where my life has been perfect. No. I've gone through the storms, the mocos of the night, I call them, right? When you cry and nobody sees you crying ugly like that. That's the reality of it. We don't preach things. We're not here to tell you things. Man, we're here to tell you what real truth about what God has done in our life. We love Jesus, man, because Jesus is awesome. He set us free. Jesus came to save me from me. I don't know if you guys know that. Jesus came to save me from me. And He wants to do the same for you, but you have to surrender. Whatever's inhibiting, what's holding you back, give your life to Jesus Christ. Give your life to God. He has amazingly and abundantly why He wants to do things that you haven't even imagined it. His goodness. Your mind and your brain can't comprehend how good God is. But you have to surrender. Surrender to Him. Seek Him first, right? Matthew 6:32. Seek Him first, right? And His kingdom. And all other things will be added unto you. Not the blessing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, right? And so what's sitting right now? Like, what's that thing that you're holding on to? Is it a hurt? Is it a pain? A secret sin? Is it you think that your success and your security, a relationship, your need to control everything, the plans you have for your own future, right? What are the things that you need to bring to the altar of God? And just say, you know what, God, I'm sick and tired. You need to be at the helm of all things. You need to be in control. And what I desire more than anything is a relationship with you, God. Intimacy with the Father through the Son, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then surrounded with the love of the brothers and sisters. Yeah. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better. You see, what happens in this story is that Abraham's faith was tested. He took his son, the son that he loved, and he walked him up the mountain. And just as the knife was going to come down, the angel of the Lord said, stop, stop. Right? And 2,000 years later, on a mountain not too far from there, another father walked his son up. And that time, the knife didn't stop. That time, as much as it had to have broken his heart, as much as it hurt Jesus on the cross, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And listen, even that is a fulfillment of a prophecy. Sometimes people will misunderstand that and think that Jesus was crying out. He says, no, he was fulfilling a prophecy from the cross to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the knife didn't stop. And see, God let his son die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be made whole again. And I don't know if you know that, man, but when I see my kids and I would say, would I ever do that? I couldn't, but the Father did. Why? For us, that we might have a relationship. On the background of Valentine's Day coming up and sometimes feeling like I didn't get the perfect gift, know that you have the perfect gift of a God who loves you. That he gave his son on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And when you get the Father, you get the Father. And man, I don't know about you, but that's enough. And so sometimes when we think about the things, it's like, man, when somebody loves you like that, why wouldn't you want to surrender? When somebody loves you like that, why wouldn't you want to obey? When all they have for you is the goodness of God. Does that make sense? And so listen, I don't know where you're at today. You might need to surrender something. Let go of something. Come back to the Father. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, right? Because listen, this is a faith, right? We're not holy rollers in here. We love what? Because God first loved us. 1 John 4:19. God is inviting you into a relationship with him, but you have to say yes. And sometimes saying yes means saying no a lot of times to things that are distractions of the world that are keeping you back from your real identity with Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. You know what? We don't do this that often. I'm going to ask Stephanie and maybe Sister Diane, can you come up to the front? I mean, listen, we don't do this a lot. We need to be praying in this church a little more. I'm just going to be honest with you. I pray, but there's only so much power, right, in my prayers. And so what I'm going to ask to do, I'm going to ask the gals, right, if you're going through something, I'm going to ask, this is the women in the group, young ladies, if God has been speaking to you and the Holy Spirit is moving, you said, you know what, I do need to surrender. I do need to let go. I need to trust God. I need to find my identity in who he says that I am. Then I'm going to ask you to go up here, right, to Steph and to Sister Dan. And even if you don't, man, just pray. God is in the business of hearing prayers. Amen? But we need to talk to him. And so for the man, I'm going to ask my brother Henry. Is he here? Brother Henry, come on up. Stephen on this side. For the men, if you have, or just come on up. If you just want to pray, man, you just want to surrender to God today, this is the day. We don't do a whole lot of altar calls here, but we need to, again, for me, it's like, man, if God is moving and the Holy Spirit wants to do something, you need to surrender, right? And if you're too, you listen, sometimes even coming up here is too nerve-wracking. Right where you are, bow your head and pray. Surrender what it is that God is inhibiting, whatever is that thing that is just getting in the way, the hurt, the pain, the control, the idol in your life, the unconfessed sin. You need to surrender it to God right now. So I'm going to start praying. But I'm going to ask, if that's you today, and you just need somebody to pray upon you, women over here to the right, men to the left, and I'm going to start praying. And when people are done here praying, we're going to pray, and then we'll close in worship. We'll do announcements. But listen, man, God is inviting us. Here's the thing. Somebody, there's that tension right now. And some of you know that you need to somebody, you need to surrender it. And there's that tension sometimes where it's just like, I don't know, like I'm embarrassed. This is a, forget about all that. These are all flawed. We're all broken. We only have a perfect God. But we need to come in between and intercede for each other and care for one another. Today's not the day to be fronting, to have your Instagram face. Man, today's the day where you just, you know what, I need to get right with God. I need to surrender. With, I need whatever's going on with me, I just need to give it to God right now. And so come up to the front. You can have the ladies pray for you or the brothers pray for you as well. But let's pray. While I'm praying, go ahead and come on up to the front if that's where God is leading you. And we're just going to keep praying. And if we have to stay longer, we'll keep praying. But let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness, Lord God. Thank you that you are the God that provides, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that I come before you, Lord, and I tell you that I'm the first one that's not worthy, Lord God, but you are worthy. You are good. You are God. Your name is the name above all names. You are so good, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord God, that you continue to move, Lord, through this place. That you meet us where we are, Lord God. That you meet us, Lord God, if we are just, again, we're holding on to a hurt, a pain, addiction. But we need to surrender our control, the thoughts of control to you, Lord. We need to surrender our families to you. Father God, we need to surrender our kids to you, our relationships to you. Father God, we might be in a situation where our health might not be good. We need to surrender that to you, Lord God. You are God and you are sovereign. And Lord God, you may say yes, you may say no, but we trust you in your goodness, your kindness, Lord God. It's in the tension that we think that we have control. We don't have control over anything. You are in control and you are sovereign. So Lord God, right now, help us to rest in who you are. Help us to rest in our identity and being loved by you. That you call us, Lord God, in your word, John 1:12, to say, to all those who have believed, put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they have the privilege to be known and to be called the children of God. So Lord God, right now, every single one of us, Lord, help us to come before you like a child who needs their father, Lord God. Like a child that needs to be loved and encouraged and just cared for. And you meet us, Lord God, at that need, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Meet us right now where we are. And if there's somebody in here that doesn't know who you are, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, continue to knock on the door of their hearts. And maybe they won't do it here, maybe they'll do it at home. And it's a very simple prayer of repentance that says, Father, I believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God, that you came down and you took on the flesh. You are God and man at the same time. And you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to live for you from this day forward. You pray that prayer right now or you pray it later. You reach out to us. We want to love you and encourage you on your walk. That's a prayer of repentance. And we want to surround you with love and with resources and prayer to guide you along this faith journey. Nothing is better in life than a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your goodness, Lord God, and your kindness of who you are. Help us, Lord God, to continue to serve you faithfully, Lord God. Watch over our families, Lord, over our church. And Lord God, help us, Lord God, as we embark on this new phase, this new task, continue to build the church, Lord God, to make more disciples, Lord God, to make more disciples that are in your image and your likeness, Lord God, that we can start, Lord, one person at a time, one family at a time, to reach more people in the community. Not because we are so awesome, because you are so awesome. Because you are sovereign and you are good. And you've called us to this task and you've invited us, Lord, to it. So help us, Lord God, again. Put our identity in who you say that we are. We are your children. We are loved by you. And we love you, Lord God. We praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.